And at firstmortgagelendersinc.com, 20 years of serving you, the living volunteer, First Mortgage Lenders. And now we go back to our phones. Go ahead, Dubsy.
A couple of follow-ups on Nathan Peterman's performance. I know that we really need to get in and dissect this. Fake Steve from Lexington on Twitter says that's 2-of-4 for 61 yards against a Bo Pelini defense. Which,
well,
I believe is true.
It's only getting better.
And Bear points out that Marlon Lane still has more touchdown passes than Nathan Peterman.
Poor Nathan Peterman. He looks so good down there at Florida Field. Now here's my question: how many chances are we gonna throw away against those guys? I'm ready to beat those. Back to the phones we go. And by the way, Jim McElwain with a rather easy win tonight, an impressive win for the Florida Gators. We'll be running down the scoreboard here momentarily. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
I appreciate you guys taking my call, Tony.
Thank you for being there.
Hey, this is Michael from San Antonio. I talked to you guys a couple of weeks ago. How's it going?
Michael in San Antonio. Beautiful San Antonio.
Yes, sir. First of all, I want to say it's great to be a Tennessee volunteer. It's been a great week, Tony. My newborn baby boy came home from the hospital on Wednesday.
Praise God, man. That's great.
His mom came all the way, it was grandmother actually, my mother, came all the way down from Tennessee, spent a few days with him. So she's here from the great state of Tennessee and got his ball swag on and got to watch his very first football game ever with his dad. And it so happened to be a victory by the Tennessee Volunteers. So that's pretty awesome.
And he'll never forget that as long as he lives.
I'll make sure I have plenty of pictures to remind him of it, sir. But first of all, I want to say, the caller was talking earlier about, miscues from the offense, a couple of TDs called back, Dobbs wasn't perfect tonight. But despite that, we still scored the most points since 2009, fellas. So that right there is, just an example itself of how much this offense and how much talent we have on that side of the ball. And I took some Oklahoma snaps like one of the previous caller did. I saw the box score on that one. Oklahoma had 33 rushes for 100 yards tonight. Threw for 388. That's how that air raid offense works. They have a new offensive coordinator this year. And, I told you guys that I live in Big 12 country. I keep up with a lot of these teams here just because that's where I live also. A lot of these teams run that type of offense. And when they do that, the running game just they don't focus on it that much. And Oklahoma has two of the best running backs in the country. Similar to Tennessee, they got a potent backfield.
Yes, they
do. So I'm just not sure it's a product of that type of offense they run or what. It's kind of crazy. Look at that box score.
You know what you want to do next week if you're Tennessee? Just thinking about the way you want that game to go. You want that game to be a street fight.
Yeah.
Teams in that league are not comfortable when you pull them into physical street fights. You cannot make that a finesse football game. You cannot, if you're Tennessee, play Cincinnati finesse football. You've got to run the ball against them, shorten the game, keep their offense off the field, and turn that thing into a street fight next week.
That Baker Mayfield kid, he played for Texas Tech.
That's right.
Product of a Cliff Kingsbury, a leech disciple, air raid offense. And, you guys knew what they did last year. They had a mediocre season. And he played mediocre last year under that type of offense. So they're playing accurate. So I was thinking the same thing. They don't think that, that type of offense, I don't think they prepare. I don't think that style of play is suited for, an SEC defense. So I think that's a positive thing, but I don't think neither one of our teams, Tennessee nor Oklahoma, I don't think they showed their cards tonight. They had good poker faces tonight. So, it's still pretty hard. It's the first game of the season. We still don't know. Nobody has an identity yet, so I think it's still going to be a very interesting game to watch. And it just so happened my wife, she was talking to me at night when we were up like 21 to 3 or whatever. She's like, Michael, she said, aren't you jumping down and screaming like you usually do when Tennessee scores a touchdown? I said, I tell you what, I said, we're expected to win this week. I said, I guarantee you I will have the dry heaves about 30 minutes before kickoff when we play Oklahoma. That's how nervous I'll be.
I'm so nervous for that game already, and I can't imagine how you would feel in the territory you're in wearing the Tennessee colors. By the way, speaking of Texas, A&M tonight with a hugely impressive effort as they're well on their way against Arizona State, and that's a real statement by them. How about Texas tonight with Notre Dame? This was the most expensive ticket of the weekend by far. Tickets were going for $600 or $700 to get into that game.
Yeah.
Texas gets
my boss. I'm sorry. He follows my boss follows Texas football the way I follow volunteer football.
Yeah, they got beat 38-3 tonight. Second largest loss in a season opener. The largest loss, the worst loss they've ever had, was 47-6 back in 88, which I want to say was the deep, dark days. Who would have been the head coach? I want to say...
It's not Jim Maccovic, is it?
I think it would have been Maccovic, because that was the same time that Gary Gibbs was at... was it Oklahoma? Right around that same era.
Boy, you close out the year getting just demolished by Arkansas in that bowl game. You open up the new one getting I know Notre Dame's pretty good, but
they're not that good.
Texas fans aren't very patient, huh?
38-3. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think Texas could get beaten a little worse than they did, like they did by Arkansas in that bowl game last year. You know, my boss and I were just talking the other day. That Swoops guy, that quarterback they've had, they have a kid behind him, I think, like maybe a sophomore named Jerron Hurd. They need to just go ahead and turn the ball over to that kid, because they have no offense at all under Swoops. They didn't have any all last year, and it's going to be ugly if they keep that guy behind center. It will. It'll be absolutely ugly.
Well, and, I'm going to be real curious to see how much patience, how many years, how long they give Charlie Strong.
Yeah, you know, Charlie Strong, he's a defensive-minded guy. They had a really good defense last year.
Yeah.
They replaced a lot of guys on the defense, I believe, this year.
Yep.
But, you know, they've got a bunch of good freshmen coming in. I think he could do it as long as he's allowed time to change the coach. My boss was saying, I'll give him 4 or 5 years. He's not going to have that long. They don't do that to coaches anymore. You have 3 years tops, and, you know, if you can't do it, then, yeah, they're going to move on, especially at Texas. But there's so much money involved and expectations are so high. It's unbelievable here.
Yep. It is interesting. And you're right there in the heart of it, man. And I appreciate you being there more than you'll ever know. And congratulations to you. What's your son's name?
His name is Ethan James Davenport.
Ethan James Davenport, we welcome you, my friend, to our world. And welcome to the volunteer family. And in 18 years, we will accept your commitment.
Hey, yes. I tell you what, he's welcome to the volunteer panel, and I'm also going to welcome to the Tony Basilio Show family with all you guys, Dr. Sinclair, you too, Mr. Russell. You guys have a good night, and I'll be in touch with you. I love your show. I love your blogs, and I'll keep being a fan of you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And we do, and by the way, we do cross-pollinate, as I have shared Dr. Sinclair, who is a dentist in beautiful Maryville, and a Tennessee insider type, as we say in the trade. I have shared him with Dubsy. And Dubsy, how was that experience when you guys were together? And then we'll go back to the phones.
It's magical.
One note for you. Butch Jones predicted, it sounds like it was because Sean was really bragging on it, but it sounds like it had no impact on you. But Butch's prediction, Butch Jones predicted Tennessee would play 23 freshmen. Tennessee only played 15 freshmen tonight per Patrick Brown and per Tennessee Sports Information. Why do you guys think that the number didn't get as high as they thought
it would
get? Because
the game was much tighter than they thought it was going to be. I'm sure they would have gotten another five or six of those guys in the game if the outcome hadn't been remaining in question midway through the fourth quarter.
Back to the phones we go. Cinco, you want to add anything?
I don't listen to what Butch Jones says.
Oh, do you listen to what Mark Stoops says? How about this quote from Mark Stoops?
I love these guys.
Just how we drew it up. Couldn't be more proud of this football team and how they hung in there. Said he's not going to let the fact that it got a little sloppy in the second half take away from a good start for our team.
I bet the Stoops family doesn't even believe Mark has a head coaching job. They're just happy he's there.
Back to the phones we go. Last year he won those five games against literally nobody. And the sugar high was so great that they couldn't wait to give him a $3 million raise.
Well, you got Mitch Barnhart up there. Anything's possible.
Back to the phones we go. Bob Stoops said the guys were very good in their communication and their adjustments on his defense tonight. And I will give you some more quotes from Bob Stoops as we go, as they make their way through his chins into that microphone. We're going to break it down tonight and do it scientifically. Let's get our next call in, because I mark the passing of time by Bob Stoops's chin and the look on Nick Saban's face. Nick Saban is getting ready to blow a gasket as Wisconsin scores late here to make it 35-17. And somebody told me the number's like 12.5. So Wisconsin is getting close to that number right about now. Some nervous folks. Some nervous folks.
Do it.
They have, I wonder how all these old in their 60 college football coaches, not one shred of gray hair. I got more gray hair than all these guys combined.
I got more gray. Well, let's go back to our phones. By the way, Texas tonight, the fewest points in a season opener since 1950. That'll really get you. A little dab will do you there. That'll make your hair turn certainly gray. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
I'm going to guarantee you those guys have less gray hair, but they probably carry around more blue pills, if you know what I mean.
Oh, it's beautiful. And that's why Bobby Petrino is going to have a good night tonight. And Nick Saban looks like literally like he's getting ready to snap. That guy never quits coaching. That guy's a hell of a coach. No kidding.
As someone who actually attended the game tonight, my only perspective on the referees was they had a problem getting their microphone turned off after they made the call on the field and explained to the crowd. Two times it happened. The first time the guy ended up blowing his whistle to start the game clock, and I think everybody's eardrum burst in the stadium. The second time was after their coach got the penalty called on him. And let's just say there was some colorful language that came out of the microphone.
He told him to get the F back, didn't he? Get the F off the field.
He did, and it was audible, and it was clear, and it was unmistakable.
That is so next level. Let men be men is what I say.
Yeah. On the whole, actually, a pretty well officiated game. I was right in front of the aforementioned call, no call with the quarterback, fumble, no fumble, grounding. The referee had already put his foot on the ground. So regardless if they'd heard a whistle audibly on the TV replay, the referee had spotted the ball already. He called for progress. He was already pointing to the ground before the guy ever let go of that ball. So that call was made. It was over and done with.
Did you? Let me ask you about the venue. Would you do this again if you're Tennessee?
I'm done with it, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Well, that was easy.
Well, you guys know I'm not gonna mince many words. Let me answer the question. Let me back up. First of all, I was kind of impressed with the flow of ticket taking and getting people into the stadium, particularly as we got closer and closer to kickoff. They did a pretty darn good job of the concessions. And they had pretty decent vendor work up and down the aisles, particularly the beer guys, the water guys did pretty well. And I was in the lower bowl, so maybe it was better in the lower bowl than the upper bowl. But on the whole, the game management was pretty good. It was nice having Jarnigan there doing the PA work. It was nice having the band. It was nice having control over all the media and those big screens that they've got, but it was not a college atmosphere. It was a college game played in the pro stadium, and I hope we don't do it again. That game would have been 10 times better played in Neyland Stadium.
Well, I wasn't there. A lot of people on Twitter were not impressed. Some callers tonight who are coming back from there have not been impressed. What can I say? I hate college football played in pro stadiums. I hate it. It's a disservice to fans. It's a money grab. It's disgusting. It's lazy. It makes me sick.
Well, they're going to make some money off the concessions. They sold a boatload of beer at that game. So I understand why they want to do it from a concession standpoint. But I can also see the flip side now, why some colleges don't have any interest in selling beer at football games.
Why? Were people drunk around you?
It was just a little more, and it was 100% UT. It was all UT all the time. You didn't have, you know, like you expect at Neyland Stadium, you didn't have Florida fans speckled in or Alabama fans speckled in. It was all orange, except for the Bowling Green section. Some of the Tennessee people just could not could not figure it out. It was, and I guess the older I get, the different, my perspective changes having two younger kids at the game too. But, not as enjoyable an atmosphere. It didn't feel like a football game. It felt more like a glorified scrimmage than it did a real college football game.
And part of that, to be fair to Nashville, part of that probably also is the opponent, although the opponent made it a lot more interesting than I ever dreamed it would be. I don't know about you, but it was way too interesting for me. So let's get to the game and give me a couple thoughts here, B.O.B.
All right, I got something for Sinclair and I've got something for Russell Dubs. Okay. And first of all, I agree with all you guys from an offensive standpoint. It was vanilla. I'm glad it was vanilla. It didn't need to be anything other than vanilla. We were a superior team. The one thing I noticed offensively does that we did differently than I saw last year is we pulled guards a lot in our run blocking scheme. And we didn't necessarily all run to the pull side. In other words, we'd counter both guards to the right, but then we'd run it back to the left. We did a lot of that today. And they looked like they were pulling with a purpose. It didn't look like they were pulling just to get out there in space. It looked like they were pulling to go hit somebody. At least that's the way it felt, which was refreshing. If there's any fool's gold from an offensive standpoint, it would be this. We had pretty darn good field position all day because of kick returning. Sutton did a great job. Barry did a great job. We had the fumble recovery at the 6, and we took that one all the way, I believe. But for the most part, we had pretty good field position all night for the offense to work with. So if there's any fool's gold from the offensive standpoint, that's it. Russell Dubs, when it comes to the play of Mosley in the secondary, this game reminded me a lot of Ole Miss in South Carolina last year, where he looked, for lack of a better word, lost a lot in coverage, particularly one-on-one in space.
So what do? Do you give him some help? We're talking about Emmanuel Mosley, right?
What I was surprised they didn't do, and maybe they felt like the other receiver was better, so they left Sutton on the wide side of the field. Because they did switch Sutton from the short side of the field to the wide side of the field in the second quarter, I think. I'm wondering why at some point they just didn't put Sutton on Sprockets over there and say, go get him. Shut him down. Quit this. Make this stop.
Cinco, you didn't sign off on that earlier when I wanted to do that.
I decided, that's fine, but they'll just go pick on him with somebody else. I mean, I didn't think that guy was Eric Decker. He was a nice player, but he wasn't a great player. He didn't show up in any of the stuff from last year.
Well, then why are we bestowing on them the fact that they're excellent wide receivers and they're the two best receivers we're going to see all year? That's what I don't get. I'm not buying that.
Well, I think they were nice receivers. I don't think they were great receivers. Mosley had a bad night. That's all there is to it.
The problem is this isn't the first time we've seen that kind of performance out of him.
The other thing,
last year,
he's not a great player.
You've lost two starters out of your secondary.
That's right.
You lost.
I totally agree, Russell.
That's huge.
Huge.
Yeah. Losing Golden, you now see what a big loss Golden was.
Tremendous loss.
And McNeil too. Yeah, I mean, people downplay that, but McNeil played a lot of football for you. I mean, there's no substitute for experience.
Yeah, here's the second problem I've got with the defense of Malik Foreman. Isn't he supposed to be the fastest guy on the team?
Who's that?
Malik Foreman.
Oh, yeah.
He's among them, yeah. If he isn't the fastest.
He was toast all night long, Lionel Richie. It was unbelievable.
It was painful.
And I heard Sean say earlier, there were some balls that were underthrown, and the quarterback did a nice job, and he'll probably be a pretty good quarterback, and one of the better ones we'll play all year. But guys, there were balls he overthrew where the receivers were wide open.
I agree with that.
Step and a half on the corner. So, I'm not buying what I feel like I've heard being sold a little bit tonight, which is those receivers were as good as any receivers we're going to see all year, and that quarterback's as good as a quarterback as we're going to see all year. And don't worry about it. We kept it vanilla. We're going to get this.
Well, hang on a second. You think those receivers? I think that receiving core we saw tonight and the way they attack offensively they're a lot more prolific through the air than Oklahoma will be? Yes or no? I mean, just schematically speaking, they're going to be more prolific than Oklahoma will be. That's true.
Okay.
Okay, that's one. Okay. Florida is not even in the same ballpark as those guys tonight, offensively speaking, in terms of just in the air, in terms of being able to attack a secondary. That guy at Georgia, God bless him, who couldn't get on the field at Virginia or stay on the field at Virginia last year, there's no way in hell he is in the category of that Johnson guy. The guy at Arkansas is not in the category of that Johnson guy through the air. The guy at Alabama, based on what I saw tonight, is not in the category of them, though Alabama, albeit, does have better athletes offensively than we saw with tonight. So I'm not so sure.
This guy's better than Matty Mock.
This guy's a lot better than Matty Mock. I mean, I disagree with you, B.O.B. I think this guy's a hell of a player. I think you're selling him short, especially against what's left on our schedule.
The quarterback was scrappy. He did a great job. He threw some great balls. But what I'm hearing also is it wasn't just him. These receivers were awesome. And we underestimated them. Guys, all they did was run verticals. They beat us on verticals and a couple wheel rounds. That's not rocket science.
We have to believe, though. We have to believe that they were vanilla on purpose defensively just to not show something for next week. That has to be what it is, right?
Well, look, we only blitzed about five or six times the whole game, so I will agree with that part if you want to call that vanilla. But at least move Sutton around a little bit.
That's true. You've got
to move him around a little bit and make them do something different.
You're getting no argument from me.
Okay, that's my point. Now, Sean,
from
a schematic standpoint, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this. And
okay.
I don't think, and you and I are boys, right? So we can have this conversation.
Oh, sure.
I know what you didn't mean by comparing their offensive scheme to Georgia Tech had anything to do with running a triple option. I know that, okay? I don't believe, though, that what they do from an offensive scheme standpoint out of a spread is significantly different than what anybody else does out of a spread. What they did was they opened up their playbook and they threw the kitchen sink at us.
I think their wide receivers line up a lot wider than most teams do, which spreads you out a bit more. But they're not world beaters. I mean, they're not going to be in the playoffs. I'm not trying to overhype them. I think we had a bad game on defense. I believe we'll rebound nicely. I really do.
Well, everybody says you make your biggest improvement from game one to game two. Offensively, again, I was really happy, and I love watching us run the football.
Uh-huh.
It is so nice to have Kamara as a change of pace. That totally changes what you're able to do with a passing game when you effectively run the ball and you got two guys that can effectively do it. World of difference. Now, from a defensive standpoint, we either don't have the players back there or we're going to have to tweak the scheme to do something, because teams are going to look at that video and watch what we do. And if they feel like we're only going to rush four and sometimes five, they're going to create matchups on the outside one-on-one, and they're going to go vertical against us, and that's going to continue to happen. We've got to fix that somehow, and I don't know how you fix it. And maybe you don't have the personnel to fix it. Maybe you've got a depth issue now with McNeil out, with Galden out, and with Martin still apparently not ready to go, because I don't think he even dressed tonight.
No, I don't think so. I'm holding out hope, and I don't know why, because he probably not going to play next week, is he, Martin?
I'm holding out hope.
We did see Preston Williams tonight. We did see him land on his bad knee on our incompletion, which made me feel pretty good.
Yeah. I tell you what, guys, he looks like a healthy player. Just looking at him. Wow. There is some serious firepower offensively. And I'll tell you, hey, guys, that kid, and you said it earlier, Sean, the Carl Pickens comparison, that guy has been playing that position full-time for about a month. Wow.
Well, he's tough. I mean, the Dobbs went for a scramble drill. He got open.
Sure
he's smooth. He's just an athlete.
You better believe it.
Hey, guys, final thought on the way out. Toss-up question. defensive secondary. Would you rather have the defensive secondary coach be suspended for a game, sending home in Knoxville, and it be Willie Martinez? Or would you rather have him be at the game on the sideline and it be Kevin Ramsey?
Thank you. That's like a brain buster, man. That's like that's not a toss up.
Poor Willie Martinez. If he had any hair, he'd have been pulling it out this afternoon watching that game on TV.
You know, I was looking at Janzik thinking the same thing. He's just too hairy to be a coordinator for the and really on Butch Jones' staff. By the way, I like the fact that there was an idiot fan that got tackled at the game today. I'm all about that. And if that idiot fan's out there and you're listening, idiot fan, I want to say to you, we give you a game ball tonight. We're going to give out game balls later on, and you get
helmet sticker.
Yeah, you get something for that.
I think he's made bail.
Look at him. Look at him. He got caremated. That poor guy got decleated by some people. Somebody gave him the old Ivan Koloff hammer and sickle.
They need to,
from back in the day,
get those security officers to coach up Tennessee's secondary a little bit, and
I do want
to lay some of those licks.
I want to remind the living listener here, we're breaking the streak this year with Florida. I mean, I'm bound to determine. Damn it. It's real to me, and it's going to happen. The Florida game this year, we're having a watch party at Cazzy's on North Shore Drive, west of Pellissippi, North Shore Town Center. We've got specials on Shock Top Draft. Also, Bud Light drafts are only $2 during the game. You can win prizes from Shock Top during the game. Cazzy's, we will be there. It's going to be unbelievable for the Florida game. Join us. Even if you come from 100 miles around, come join us off North Shore Drive, west of Pellissippi in the North Shore Town Center, front of North Shore Elementary School. Don't you dare miss it. Tennessee, Florida, at Cazzy's. It's going to be unbelievable. Andy Macaulay. And let me remind you here, Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. You know, I've gone through some issues here. I got more issues than a newsstand, maybe TV Guide and Sports Illustrated put together. But I'm going to tell you, I had a terrible, and I mean terrible, shoulder injury last summer. I couldn't play guitar. There were a lot of other things I couldn't do in my life. But when it took guitar away from me, that's when I knew it got serious. John Krusenklaas really took great care of me. Over at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. After a few treatments, got me back rolling. I've talked to so many people around town who have had great results from Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, including the lovely Mrs. B, who's got that glow and that smile back these days because of what they do at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. Find out what the Bacilios are talking about. If you've had a lingering muscular skeletal issue, they're located at 2260 Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville, online at 10sportsmed.com, or see the link at tonybacilio.com, where my man the Vol Colonel's going to be hanging out on Monday. Let's go back to the phones. I got Russell Smith here. He's from 94.3 Radio, Knox Talk Radio, in town. You can hear him from 3 to 6 Eastern. You got Dr. Sean Sinclair on hold, noted dentist, beautiful Maryville, insider, concerned citizen, University of Tennessee, but he's in beautiful Maryville if you're hunting a dentist, and he is accepting patients. And let's go back to the phones. What did you guys make of Alabama today? Are you guys impressed with Alabama? Because I'm picking Auburn in that division.
They've got no quarterback.
Yeah, I'm picking Auburn.
Yeah, not much from Coker today, but, I mean, they do have Derrick Henry. They do have a huge offensive line. They're good pretty much everywhere else. I mean, I think they're good enough, Russell, for them to win 10 or 11 ball games.
Oh, I'll tell you what they are, though. They're bad enough at quarterback for us to beat them in the right circumstances.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying every day.
Well, no, if Tennessee's major issue is this secondary,
right?
And they don't have a quarterback that can exploit that, then...
You're damn straight. That was my point to B.O.B. Everybody wants to talk... Hey, give me a quarterback that's better than the kid that we saw today that's left on our schedule. Go ahead, Sean. Give me one.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find one that's going to perform better. The Toles kid's not. Vandy's garbage. I didn't see anything from the Georgia kids. Bama guys are terrible. I can't speak for Western Carolina or whoever they are.
Now we're not on radio. Little ad lib there. But you can't just say garbage. That's not fair.
Hot garbage.
Radio would get radio would frown upon that.
Connor Mitch didn't exactly cover himself in glory the other night.
Connor Mitch.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
Wow. You talk about a hot mess.
That guy with Vandy. Ugh.
I guess the best one will play, and I'm not a big fan, but he showed up today, is Brandon Allen.
Big Brandon Allen. Back to the phones we go. Oh, who's next? Hello and welcome.
Yeah, what's up, man? This is round two, ain't it? After getting snack cake, my first call.
Go right ahead, brother. Wow. Now let's talk football.
Oh, man, dude. I mean, I just love Alvin Kamara. Is it Kamara or Kamara?
We're going to have to say Kamara now because the Tennessee's clarified it. It's Kamara now.
Okay, man. I love B.O.B. I mean, I just don't understand that dude's, what he goes about saying things. Back when him and his brother-in-law, Mr. Take me on a Sunday, I'm get that. I don't give a freaking rat's freaking rear end about you all when you snack cake me back in the day. Alvin Kamara,
Kamara,
Malone, Josh Malone, Jennings. I mean, yeah. Vanilla ice, okay. Boogie Woogie, Piggy Wiggy, absent today. But come on, dude. Break out of your freaking shell. Come on, B.O.B. What is your freaking problem, dude? Just speak in the freaking phone and get fired up. What is your problem? Oh,
that's what I wanted out of you the first time, but you were worried about Ted Nugent.
I was going to ask.
Of course, you did drop an F bomb during your call, and it's all good. By the way, let's go back to our phones and get our next call. Let's get our next call in.
I wonder what the third call is.
TR, I want 100. If I could script it, I would give you my seats next week. I want 106,000 TRs in Neyland Stadium.
I love it.
If you put 106,000 TRs in Neyland Stadium next week, there's no way in hell Oklahoma's coming out of here a winner. Okay?
No way. And don't let that Bearden coach show up.
That was the greatest thing ever. When he attacked the Bearden basketball coach last year in Thompson Bowling Arena for not wearing orange.
That was me.
Huh?
He
attacked you for that.
Oh yeah, that was,
no,
that
he
was
attacked
many years ago.
No, the Bearden basketball coach got attacked.
That happened to me and Buzz Peterson's last year too.
Wow. Sleepy thought he was going to have to put the guy in a stranglehold.
He physically assaulted him.
Back to the phones we go. B.O.B. I just got
the verbal treatment.
In my neighborhood, we call that getting dealt with. And by the way, on this show, some people are telling me they're making their way back to Knoxville. To quote the late, great Roddy Piper, this is not physical. This is verbal. This is not physical. Back to the phones we go.
All out of bubblegum.
And let's get our next call in. Congratulations to Ole Miss today. Big win over UT Martin, 76-3. What do you make of the Tunsil thing, Cinco? I know you're very close to the Ole Miss program. You love them.
Yeah, I do love them. But anywho, I think he's in trouble. You got his stepfather who's disgruntled and been disrespected by the family and been basically called a wife beater. And now that they've got everybody knows what happened in that signing class 3 years ago. And now that they've got him sniffing around, I'm not sure he's going to play this year.
I love that guy because he's a modern day Bobby Bowden. Because he hides behind it. God bless you. God bless you. Here's $1,000. God bless you. God bless you. Here's $5. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to cover your crime up. I love that stuff. I love that. Southern college football to the core. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want some more of it. Of it. Of it. On your smart way, Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello to our next caller.
I don't know how to follow TR. I mean, dropped an F bomb and a GD.
Yeah, it's, well, the GD got blasted out, but please, please refrain.
Well,
thank you. Gotta,
well, the F-bomb, we can...
The F-bomb I can deal with.
That can roll, but GD...
Yeah,
no,
I'm not doing GD.
Yeah.
I'm not doing
it on Sunday.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to be as stern as TR was, and it was. Yeah, he brutalized Blevins at halftime of that game, and you'd be surprised at the number, Tony, of local high school basketball coaches that thought it was all hysterical.
Well, there you go.
The things I took from tonight, I thought it was fantastic. Finally, seeing us having, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and compare them to any of the great running back groupings we've had over the years, but what I did see was, for the first time in a long time, especially with Kamara and Kelly, there was that burst to where when they were hitting the line, they were almost at full speed, and that's what you got to have at this level in this league. You've got to have running backs that are just absolutely hitting the hole. And
I agree with that.
Miles an hour, figure into the linebackers. Purge just a different, you know. I mean, he's a different beast altogether. He doesn't have to hit full speed because he can go mano a mano with defensive linemen just because of his size and strength. As far as the secondary goes, I think it was just a perfect storm. I disagree with B.O.B. I think that other than Tennessee and Mississippi State, that kid that played for Bowling Green tonight would be the starting quarterback in any other SEC school this year. You couple that with losing two safeties who could have covered up, you know, and helped cover some of the, you know, poor play by our corners, and then not having Willie Martinez there obviously hurt. And, I mean, let's just, as Philly likes to say, let's get real here. I mean, Todd Kelly Jr. spent the better part of the week in a hospital bed, and he was playing. And he went in before the second quarter was over. I just couldn't. I was like, why are they playing Kamara on defense? And then it hit me. I was like, I just couldn't believe that they had the kid out there.
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures, I suppose.
I mean, that's not an easy surgery to get over once you're, you know, over the age of 10. You know, I don't think the sky is falling as far as the defense goes. And, you know, I mean, it just seemed to have a waterfall effect with, then you had Jancic, you know, having to spend most of his time trying to do something with the secondary and not what he should have been doing, which was overseeing the overall play of the defense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how, I don't know what to feel about the debate about how good these quarterbacks and the receivers for Bowling Green were. I guess time will tell, but just to my untrained eye, I leave this evening, this game, feeling very concerned about the secondary. So we'll see. I'm not so sure that, you know, these guys that Oklahoma's going to bring in here aren't just as good or better than what we saw today.
Well, I think it's just more of a, they're going to line up and they just do it differently. They're going to try and smash.
Well, they've got the two running backs too. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be more physical and run the ball more.
I'll tell you what Oklahoma's going to find this year that we haven't talked about, Des. The day of Stryker teeing off on Josh Dobbs, that's over. Or our quarterback, it wasn't Dobbs last year.
Well, the line will be better and the quarterback will be more mobile.
Much better. That and let's point this out. Tennessee, before a bad turnover last year, was really in that football game. There was a period where they were really in that game.
No, yeah, and then the play calling just kind of went into bizarro land.
Well, that's again. That's we go back to this. We've got to have Sean a consistent effort out of our offensive coordinator next week. He has got to stay in this thing, and this is going to be a big test for our offensive coordinator next week.
Well, it is. We can't, you know, you can't just go to sleep. That's been the pattern here the past couple of years. Second and third quarters, there's a big lull.
Yep.
And you gotta attack, man.
Even if there's a good start next week, put the pedal to the metal, and if you get a chance, put it on them if you get the chance. Tonight, they should have really blown that team out, and they fooled around in the middle part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, if they had kept running Hurd and Kamara and
I really almost wish they'd brought after, you know, and I realize it's the fourth quarter, but, I mean, that kid was hitting the hole hard. I'm, you know, you give a steady dose of the three of them. I mean, Kelly to me, you know, looks pretty legitimate. I mean, I've been watching Tennessee football for, you know, I hate to date myself, 40 years now, and he's got the look of a real Tennessee running back. It's a burst and the way he hits the hole, and he stays low to the ground, and he's a, you know, he's not tall, but he's a pretty good load coming at you. So I don't know, great, no big injuries, and I really thought that you guys, I felt like there was a huge difference in the line play.
Yeah, but it's hard, going to be hard to tell, right? But what we saw, what I like a couple people talked about is, I love seeing Coleman Thomas out there pulling, and I thought Brett Kendrick played really, really well, and I'm proud of those guys, because both those guys have kind of been through a lot, and so it was good to see that. And hopefully they'll take their best five, settle on their best five, and go for it. But, Robbie, I appreciate your call. And we got breaking news, Robbie. How about this? You ready?
Yeah.
LSU season opener with McNeese State, after a long delay, and they made those fans sit there for a couple of hours, has now been canceled.
Good Lord.
That would suck. You drive all the way across the state.
That's basically what happened to Florida last year in their opener.
Oh!
That urinal of a stadium. I mean, I realize everybody's loving there. That place is so hallowed. If you've ever been to a game down there, it smells like the old bathrooms, you know, when they still have the troughs.
Oh, it's beautiful!
I mean, it's just absolutely horrible.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, hey, on the way out the door, the only other thing, you know, everybody's talking about why didn't they move Cam Sutton around. When you're playing a quarterback like that and a coaching staff that is that good, it's scheming, it didn't matter where they were going to move Sutton. They were going to, you know, they were going to pick on wherever Sutton was tonight.
Old Dino Babers gets it done. I love him. He's a black guy with an Italian man's name. I'm into that. Thank you, brother.
I was done when I saw him.
I know, it's great. It's beautiful, isn't it? Dino Babers. Thank you. Good talking to you. 865-200-5402. USC, Arkansas State, deadlocked at 14. Dubsy, get me a score in that Mississippi Southern Miss game. Mississippi State, Southern Miss. It was fairly close. Third halftime in that game. It started at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I love television. Television is rolling. The fans, all they are is window dressing. It's all about TV. There hasn't been a line available all night. We're going back to the phones. 865-200.
Mississippi State's up 14-10 at the half.
14-10 on Southern Miss. This will be an interesting game tonight. He's got to get this game, Sean, tonight if he wants to go bowling, I think. It's going to be tough for them to find six wins on their schedule.
Yeah, I think so.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And as we celebrate Tennessee's victory tonight to move to 1-0 on the year, with Oklahoma awaiting, and there was thought that there was a chance. ESPN kind of let it be known that Tennessee was on the watch list for the game day program next week. They're going to East Lansing. And they're choosing...
That's two top ten teams. That's not a
They're choosing Michigan State...
And Oregon.
And Oregon next week. I don't blame them.
No.
I think I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Back to the phones we go, and I don't care because Reese Davis is a bammer. Let's just get that out there. To the phones.
Yeah, I mean, enough with the window dressing, the hot sauce, as Dooley would say. You know, I could do without the checkerboard kneeling and all that. Just win the game.
You don't want a checker kneeling?
I mean, it looks cool and everything, but, I mean, this is the more of the gray uniforms and the first down cheer and all that stuff. Let's just go win a game.
Cinco, do you agree with
that?
Should we move past that and just go concentrate on winning this game, or should we worry about checker kneeling?
Well, I think checker kneeling's pretty cool.
I mean, you're doing it at this point. I'm not advocating backing out of it. I mean, that would be an even bigger distraction, but I mean, at some point, you got to be about winning a big game.
I think it engages the fans, man. It looks cool. Why not? I mean, that's why we talk about the college atmosphere. That's the college atmosphere.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Yes, hello and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hello, I'm sorry. Hey, I was wondering, you talked about the vanilla defense. Did Tuttle or McKenzie even get in the game?
Yes, oh, yeah. They did. Tuttle played a lot. I don't know. I don't have the number of snaps in front of me. McKenzie didn't play till very late.
So, do you think they're saving them for Oklahoma or what?
No, I don't think so. I think the other guys are just, at this point in their careers, I think they're just more effective.
Do you think their offense was a little vanilla tonight?
Our offense, very much so. Absolutely. I didn't see the backs involved in the pass game. The only downfield pass was really, you know, the jump ball to Preston Williams. I think it was very vanilla.
Yeah, I thought it was too. So maybe they're holding out for Oklahoma then. Do you think Tuttle and McKenzie will get more playing time?
Not necessarily. I think they got the right amount. Neither one of them looked all that. I didn't think McKenzie did anything. They're freshmen, and I think we're lucky to have who we have. I thought Vickers had a nice game. I thought O'Brien played well. Owen Williams played well.
All right. Well, I hope we do it against Oklahoma.
Thank you.
Good
talking to you. Yeah, and I'm kind of with you. I want to see the kids play too, but not to the detriment or I guess I want to keep it fair for the upperclassmen. So I see what you're saying, Sean. And you want to give yourself the best chance to win. If you feel like the kids will give you the best chance to win, you play the kids. The trouble with all this stuff is there's so much hype around those guys that you want to see them right away. And when you don't, it's a disappointment. And so, you know, that's kind of the culture we're in. Everybody was expecting McKenzie to walk in here and just blow people away. You know, that's not really realistic in this league. Very few freshmen are going to walk in as an interior defensive lineman and blow people away. And somebody would say, well, what about a first-year guy like Mount Cody? Well, Mount Cody was a junior college transfer. That's a totally different deal.
That's right.
How many freshmen, Sean, can you think of that have come off the street and had just a blow-up impact like that?
At UT?
Anywhere.
At defensive line, I can only think of one. That was Tommy Harris at Oklahoma. That's it.
Yeah. Well, he was a big bear, wasn't he?
Oh, he's awesome.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Adam up here in Tri-City.
Hey, Adam. Great talk to you, man.
Hey, well, first of all, that's to tell you what, Tony, that was pretty cool what you said about Mel. That was pretty good. It was funny, but it was wrong, knowing that he missed the...
That was terrible, wasn't it? Somebody said that on Twitter, in case you're wondering what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Tennessee kicking game today, and somebody said, yeah, he was going out to the, he was looking for the bus today, and he missed it. That's terrible. Oh. Well, let's get our next call in here. I guess Adam detonated himself. Hello and welcome.
What do you say, man?
Hey, Fab Fry
Freddy.
Hey,
thanks for being in there, guys. It's football time when you guys are up there past midnight and when you ought to be home in bed with your wives or whatever. And by the way, sorry my call's a little late. Every time I saw a lightning strike, I put it off 30 minutes here. And I was
That's a great line.
I didn't want to take any chances anyway. So, guys, I've kind of changed my... I've tried during this horrible decade, basically, that we've had.